All right, well, I have a word from the Lord that I'm going to speak with clarity tonight and sharpness of mind and easy to understand. Everyone, can you agree with that?
Amen.
Let's agree with that. All right. I want you to please put a marker in, well, open up to John 6, put a marker in Exodus 12, and if you want a third one, we're going to be in Psalms 105 before the night is over. And yes, we're going to again look, like we did Sunday, we're going to look at the Lamb and the Passover Lamb and everything that God instructed them. Because there's a whole lot more to it than just the blood on the doorpost. There's more to it than that. Thank God for the blood. Can I get a witness? The life is in the blood. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. But if that was all God was trying to teach, you know, then you just put the blood on the doorpost and hunker down in there till daylight and you're good. Okay? But he, you know, whose word is this? God's word. And he put all this in there for our instruction, for us to understand. And he's trying to get us to understand the fullness of the inheritance that we have as his children. And I thank God for what we've walked in. How many of you are glad for the new birth? See, do you understand that before Martin Luther, that was almost removed from the earth? I mean, it was pretty well just removed. Nobody knew about that, really. Salvation was by works, and it was all by penance, and it was by, you know, Martin Luther himself would go up all those steps to the cathedral. He'd go up on his knees and whipping himself on his back, flogging himself, like somehow, you know, your repentance and your self-deprecation, and that's how you got right with God. Well, thank God that he broke through the revelation to understand salvation is not by works. The just shall live by faith. Well, thank God we've had that. And in our generation, we have that pretty strong. I mean, that gospel, the blood of Jesus, being saved by the blood, saved by the Lamb, that is preached everywhere, see? But there's more to this inheritance. He was trying to give me an example of, you know, I like things simple. And he was going, if I had come from a really wealthy family, and I found out maybe later in life that I was left an inheritance that I didn't know about, and suddenly I get a call from the attorneys and they go, is your name Gary Carpenter? Yeah. Did you know your dad left you an inheritance? I said, well, yeah, I've got this and that. He said, no, he left you a lot more than you're aware of. He didn't just leave you his name. How many are glad you got his name? He didn't just leave you his DNA. I got his DNA, okay. He says, he left you a house in the Hamptons. That would be good to find out. And it would change your actions. I said, oh, and by the way, there's $1 million for you. He laid up in the bank. Good to know. In other words, what we're trying to do here is find out the rest of our inheritance. And the same way that Martin Luther almost had to rediscover that one part, the just shall live by faith. Boy, it started a war. Well, this is going to start a war too, to be honest with you. But it's God's word that matters. God's word is truth. Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth. You know, there's probably 10,000 books written about the truth, but none of them are the truth. I didn't get near enough amens. I don't mean they're not true. They're not the truth. This is the standard of truth. This is truth for all eternity. This word has been settled. It's never going to change. It's never going to be altered. This is the truth. Okay, enough of that. So John chapter 6. Let's look at some difficult verses. When Jesus taught this, so many of the people that had been following him at the time, it was too much. They didn't understand it, especially to the Jewish mind who was raised never to drink blood or eat blood, you know. And Jesus says some things here that blew them away. They said, we can't handle this. And they left. They're not his disciples anymore. And now modern day preachers would water down their message because they're dependent on the offerings. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Did I say that out loud? Jesus, he didn't water it down. He didn't change it at all. He saw them all leaving. And he looks at his 12. And in modern day terms, he says, y'all want to go too? There's the door. But he's not going to change his message. Amen. He's not going to change the word of God. Neither are we. So let's look at this. Let's pick it up in verse 53 tonight, John 6:53. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Say, and. Two things. See, there's two things here. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. Got that? Got the flesh and the blood. All right? Unless you do that, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, boy, now if you underline this phrase right here, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Man, I want to preach right there, but I can't. We'll get there. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Let's go ahead and look at it. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore, now notice, of his disciples. These are people that had been following him up to this point. When they heard this, they said, well, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I can imagine, especially to the Jewish mind. Eat human flesh? Especially to the Jewish mind. Eat human flesh? Drink human blood? You know, I've often wondered about myself. I thought, you know, I might have been one of those that got up and walked out. That is a hard saying. So when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, well, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now notice this. This is going to be important later on. I'm sure we won't get there tonight, but it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words, if you underline, please, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that's, we got to stop for tonight. Like that's, we'll be really doing good if we make it that far tonight. Now, let me tell you down through the ages. See, this is why I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God again for Pastor Dave, who meticulously and lovingly kept beating us back into prayer, telling us, listen, you need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He is the instructor given by God. God gave us not only a book, he gave us a teacher to help it to explain the book so that we can understand it in the truth. See, man not doing that and trying to understand this with his mental capacity, do you know that tens of thousands of Christians have been murdered because of that passage? Yeah, it's called the Inquisition. They took this passage to mean that when you take communion and you take the wafer, that when you put it in your mouth, the wafer literally becomes the flesh of Jesus Christ. And when you take the communion cup, wine or grape juice, whatever they gave you, they teach that when you, and some places teach it today, but I'm talking about this, the Inquisition. When you drink the blood, excuse me, when you drink the juice, that at that moment you drink it, it literally becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, during the Inquisition, you were questioned on that. They brought you in to be, and that's just one, but that was one of the major questions. If you did not agree with that, they burned you at the stake. And they did it by the thousands. So here we have, in the name of love, in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, these men supposedly standing in the place, speaking for God, murdering Jesus-loving Christians because of false doctrine. It's the devil perverting. That's why the mind of man is one of the most dangerous things on planet Earth. And I so appreciate Pastor Dave teaching us not to rely on our intellect to understand this word. God gave us a teacher. His name is the Holy Ghost. And our job is to meditate the word and pray in tongues. I like to say it this way. Stop trying to figure it out and just go pray it out. The Holy Ghost will get it across to you. He is smarter than we are dumb. He will get it across to you. That is not what this is talking about. Now, Jesus knew what he was talking about. He was actually explaining a shadow from the Old Testament. Now, again, the Bible says the Old Testament is not the thing itself. It is the shadow of good things to come. When Dave taught on that, he says, now, that's true, but anything, if you see a shadow, that means there's something real that cast that shadow. Well, Jesus is the real. The whole book points to Jesus Christ. He is the real. So when you find a shadow back there, ultimately it's going to point to Jesus, or you don't understand it yet. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost, okay? So tonight let's focus on, we're going to look at the blood some, but mainly I want to focus on this one phrase. Look at verse 53 again. John 6:53, then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Let's focus tonight. I want to focus on eating the flesh of the Son of Man. Now, here's the question. How do you do it? How do you do it? See, what do you mean, Jesus? How do I do that? Okay. Exodus. Chapter 12. And I'm going to read this whole passage again. It's good for us. The Word of God is good. It's good to have it in you. And I like it because it helps keep everything in context. Here's the shadow of what Jesus was talking about. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers. Now notice, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Reckon that's pointing to anybody? Sure it is. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, if you can picture, some people say there's at least a million. I'm not a scholar, but they say the number of Jews that came out of Egypt, some say a million, some say 4 million. There's a lot. So picture in your mind all these households, lots of them, maybe a million people. And for every household, basically, a lamb is being slaughtered at every house. You got that picture? And it's all happening roughly the same time at evening. I'm thinking right at sundown probably. Okay? And every household is seeing the same thing. What are they seeing? The death of the lamb. Okay? And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, okay, we'll just read it first. They shall eat the flesh in that night. They'll roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. That means don't boil it. But roast it with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it, if there is anything left, if there's that which remaineth of it unto the morning, you shall burn with fire. In other words, there'll be nothing left. Nothing left. So let's review this. Let's think now. Now, in my meditation, I don't know why my job is to meditate and pray and assimilate the books and pray, just like Dave taught us. But I don't know why, but in this one, when I meditate this, somehow I become a young person about 9 years old. I'm a child in the house, and I'm watching, trying to understand what all's going on. And we're a household. And I watch my daddy, you know, because we all come out to watch, because I got an instruction from the Lord. And it's evening time. And we've had that lamb there at the house. That lamb been kept for days up until this particular date that he said do it. And I'm watching. Now, I've seen lambs killed before because that's common. You know, that's you eat lamb. But this one's a little different. I never saw them do this. I'm watching as they kill the lamb. But they're real careful to catch the blood. They didn't let it spill out on the ground like they usually do. That's normally what you do. They took hyssop, which is a plant, and they caught that blood in a bowl, and they took that blood, and I'd never seen this happen before. My daddy, he took that blood, and he started painting with that hyssop. He'd dip it in that bowl of blood, and he'd paint the posts of the door. And he's painting it, and he's painting the top. And I'm going, well, Daddy, What's the purpose of this? Let's keep reading just a moment. He says, well, let me tell you what Moses told us. And he tells me what Moses said up to this point. And then he says in verse 11, thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I'm going, well, what is that? What do you mean Passover? Well, the Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Boy, could we preach right there. And the blood, now get this, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, boy, if you underline, when I see the blood, not your works, when I see the blood, not your giving, when I see the blood, were you nice to your cat today? He's looking for one thing. He's looking for one thing only. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So the daddy's explaining to me as a 9-year-old boy, I'm in my meditation. He said, listen, God told Moses tonight, this night, he's going to come through the land. He's going to smite all the firstborn of Egypt. Not only the children, but even the animals. But the Lord said, if we would kill this innocent, this lamb, we would kill this lamb and take the blood and paint it on the doors and the top of the door of our house, the lintels and the doorposts. We got to stay inside. There's no, when I close that door, listen, there's no going outside tonight. We're going to stay inside because that death angel's coming through. But when the Lord sees the blood, he's going to pass over our house. Now, again, I'm a 9-year-old. In my meditations, I'm about 9 years old. My daddy doesn't know this, but I've been hand feeding that lamb. He's been kind of fattening it up, you know. And that lamb's been tied up there at our gate for a while. He doesn't know it, but I really love that lamb. It was perfect. It was perfect. Did not have any blemish. It would eat right out of my hand. I named it something. I don't know, you know, how kids will name their pet. And a little child would have to wonder, why would something innocent like that perfect little lamb, why would it have to die so that we wouldn't die? Why would this innocent little lamb? I don't really understand, Daddy. Well, we understand because we're on this side of the gospel. We know that whole thing. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus of Nazareth? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. He who knew no sin, he was innocent, innocent, more innocent than a lamb. Innocence itself. Yet his blood was shed so that I could live. When God comes, on that day, when he comes, he's looking for one thing. He's looking for blood on the doorposts of your heart. Your good works won't matter. I mean, thank God for works. That's a whole other message. But that's not. It's the atonement, the sacrifice, the offering of the Lamb. And it's faith in that finished work that Martin Luther rediscovered. The just shall live by faith. God, is that good stuff or what? But again, I'm this little child. I'm 9 years old, and I'm thinking, see, if that's all there was, if that's the total of our inheritance, let me say it that way, if that's the total gospel, then wouldn't the narrative end right there? Kill the lamb, take the blood, paint it on the posts of your doors, and then the rest of the message just be hunker down behind that door. Don't come out. And tomorrow morning, the slaughter of the Egyptians will have happened. Pharaoh will declare you gone. You know, you can go and we'll be free. If that was the fullness of the inheritance, if that was the message, then you could end it right there. Just hunker down behind the door. Hunker, y'all know what hunker means. Stay in the house. Don't just stay in there. If that's the fullness of the message. But that's not the fullness of the message. So let's look at some more of this. Number one, I made some points here, just teaching points. They were to kill the innocent lamb. Now you notice at every house that lamb died at the same time. You know what the message is there? We all killed the lamb. We all killed the lamb. There's none innocent. Only one. All of us, that every household, we all killed the lamb. On the other side of that, he would have died just for one. He died without any guarantee that anybody would respond to the gospel. But the message there that, you know, it could have just been one lamb killed somewhere. No, every household, I want, what's God teaching? I want every household to kill that lamb. We all killed the lamb. We all needed that blood. Okay. Now, they were definitely to trust in the blood to save them from death. Don't you go outside that house, boy. Don't you go. Don't be sneaking out and going playing with your friends tonight. Not tonight. Because what the Lord's coming, when he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank God. Now, see, that's normally in America, that's pretty much where our gospel ends. That's what we know. That's what we teach. And thank God for it. I thank God that anybody that hears the pure gospel message, that part, and repents and gets saved, thank God for it. But if that's all God wanted to teach, let's say it another way. If that's all he had for us, the story, the instructions could stop right there. Now, the message tonight is, how do you eat the flesh of Christ? He said, how do you eat the flesh of the Son of Man? How do you do it? Well, let's keep watching here now. Now, notice they were to roast the lamb with fire. Did you notice that part? Have you ever seen those ovens that they have typically in the houses? In that time, they're like an open hearth thing. Today, it's very much like a pizza oven, you know, where they put the pizza and they put it in there, but you can see it in there being cooked. That was pretty standard from what I've seen from, the History Channel, Discovery Channel. Now, so they put that, they don't boil it, you're not putting it in a pot. Somehow you're putting it in there and you're roasting it with fire. I think they could see it roasting. I'm a 9-year-old boy. And I'm going, my lamb. First they killed it. They painted the doorpost with it. I know that death is going to pass me over when God sees that blood. But now they're roasting the lamb. And they're roasting it with fire, not boiled, not cooked any other way. It's roasted with fire. God said, roast it with fire. See, and I remember for years, you just don't know how many years I tried to find. I knew this shadow had fire in it, and I kept trying to find the fire in the real. I'd go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I would read 6 ways from Sunday, everything about the crucifixion. I could find the tree, I could find the nails, I could find the spear, I could find all of these shadows for all of these things, the vinegar. All of the things you could find, the shadow, but I never could find the fire. There was no fire at the cross. And what in the world is this roasting with fire? Until I never got it till the Holy Spirit had to bring me to understand spiritual death. See, when it says he tasted death for every man, he's not just talking about physical death there. Jesus tasted spiritual death for every man. That roasting with fire, what's that a picture of? Like Jonah was 3 days in the heart of the whale, in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man must suffer in the heart of the earth, must be in the heart of the earth. He literally descended. Dave had a vision of it one time regarding the worms that dieth not. He saw the suffering that he did there. That lamb was roasted with fire. To type in a picture of the suffering that he did for us, what we so much deserved, and he did not deserve. He did it in our place. You talk about love. You talk about love. But if that was the end, I mean, he suffered spiritual death and suffered our punishment in our place. And the story could end there. That could be the end of the instructions. We watched it roast and that, yes, that's the end of it. But it's not the end of the instructions. Why? Because God's got more for us than that. He's got more for us than that. Then what's the instruction? I wrote it this way. They were to eat the flesh of the lamb until nothing was left. See, killing the lamb was not the end of the instructions. Painting the blood on the door was not the end of the instructions. Watching the lamb roast in fire was not the end of the instructions. Even eating the lamb was not the end. They were to eat it until they could eat no more. If they could eat it all, great. If they could not, if there was something left, what was left? This is the end of the instructions. They were to burn whatever was left with fire, roast it until there is nothing left at all. What would be the message there? There is no other offering to be made because the price has been paid in full. get that? I'm a 9-year-old boy. And I'm going, this lamb is really important. This lamb saved my life. The blood of this lamb. If it wasn't for that blood, we would have died when that death angel come through. But that wasn't enough for God. Now he wants me to eat this lamb. He wants this lamb. See, what happens when you eat food? Doesn't the food become you? What's that old saying? You are what you eat. Doesn't what's in the lamb become in you? What more of a picture could God draw? He says, I don't want you just saved from death. I don't want you just forgiven. I am going to conform you to the image of my Son. The Lamb is going to become you, and you are going to become the Lamb. Now, previews. John 17. Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. You remember? Okay. Over there in John 6, we just read it a while ago. He was saying, I live by the Father, and if you eat my flesh, you will live by me. That picture of them eating that lamb, the lamb is becoming them. They are becoming one with the lamb. What a picture. Now, hold your place there and go to Psalms 105. We're doing real good. We're just going to look at verse 37. This is talking about when they came out of Egypt. Psalms 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, different scholars say different numbers of people came out. I've read everything from 400,000 to 4 million. I don't know. But it's a gob of people. It's a whole bunch of people. And they have all been slaves for 430 years. Generations have lived and died. So all of these coming out, they were born a slave. They've been a slave. That's all they've ever known is hard work. Slaves don't normally get the best medical care. Slaves don't necessarily eat high on the hog. They don't necessarily have the most nutritious food. I am thinking in a maybe, let's just say 1 million people. We'll just take that as maybe 1 million came out. Normally you're going to have, especially in a group of slaves that spent their whole life in hard labor, you're going to have people with every kind of tooth disease and they may have broken bones. They may have old people that are feeble and maybe after years of burdens, they're bent over and just, you're going to have all kinds of maladies and infirmities in these people. But see, God's about to bring them across the Red Sea and onto a journey into a promised land. Kind of hard to do if you can barely walk. Kind of hard to do if you're sick. Kind of hard to do if you're feeble. So Sunday morning we talked about it, my meditation time. Now, I don't know why Gertrude, in my little movie of this in my mind, I'm watching, because all of our relatives, you know, we're all in the house, right? It's a household thing. And we're eating that lamb. And my Aunt Gertrude was there. And in my mind, Aunt Gertrude looks to be 110 years old. I mean, she's all bent over and shriveled and feeble, you know. Barely see. Maybe got two teeth left. But during that night, as we're eating that lamb, she may have come in there feeble. But in my meditation, I'm watching because it says not one feeble. There was not one feeble after they ate that lamb and came out. Not one feeble among them. In my meditation, I was watching. Gertrude took a bite. Kind of sat up a little straighter. Took another bite. Took another bite. By the time she ate till she was full. Let me say it this way. By the time she ate the flesh of the lamb, Aunt Gertrude was not feeble anymore. Not sick anymore. Not bent over anymore. If you look up that word feeble, a lot of times it's translated as stumbling and falling. Like somebody so feeble they can barely walk. They're stumbling and falling. You're like a real elderly person. A lot of times they're frail and they stumble. Not me, thank God. But anyway, some elderly people, not like me. My mom, when she turned 90, finally says, you know, I think I'm getting to be a senior. Anyway. Really, she was about 90 when she admitted that. But anyway, my mom's doing good. Can you get the picture? When they ate the flesh of the lamb, their feebleness left. Why would God have that in his word? And why would Jesus, centuries later, say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, not just the blood, unless you eat the flesh. He knew what he was preaching. He is the Lamb. We have more than just salvation. To even say just salvation, I in no wise belittle salvation. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. If you only have one thing, get that. But he didn't just give us one thing. Can you imagine a nation? In Tulsa, I think the population here is roughly 300,000. So if we had 1 million coming out, those of us that live here, you know roughly what Tulsa's like, 300,000. Well, you got over three times that many people. And in all those people, you can't find one sick. You can't find one feeble. I don't care how old they are. They're able to, yes, I'll give me my backpack. I'll carry my part as we go out into the promised land. We're headed to the promised land. And God healed them all for their journey. And what's the message? He'll heal you for your journey too. Amen. We're all going into the promised land. And he wants us not feeble for the journey. And it has to do with the eating of that flesh of the lamb. That's what Jesus was preaching. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. So get the picture. We're back in Exodus now. Get the picture. They're eating that lamb. We're watching Aunt Gertrude and whoever else might have been feeble in the house. We're watching them all straighten up. Get healthy. There's health in that flesh. There's something supernatural going on. See, if I eat a steak, I know that the nutrients in that steak, the natural nutrients, feed my natural body. But we're talking something supernatural here. There's something supernatural going on. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. Whatever it means to eat the flesh of the Son of Man, when you do it, the Spirit's going to quicken your body. How would I do that, Brother Gary? For a love offering of $19.99. We're going to do it tonight. We'll get there tonight. We're almost there. So they're eating the flesh of the Lamb, and they're getting healed as they do that. What if I was to remember John again, John the Baptist. Behold, when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb. Yet we could also say about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, the Jesus we see in the flesh, let me say it this way, is the Word made flesh, but he is the Lamb. So what if I said instead of eating the lamb, what if I substituted the Word? if you eat the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You eat the flesh of Christ by eating the Word of God. That's how you do it. It's more than that. It's believing His doctrine. You have to believe what Jesus said. This has to be preached because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have thousands of believers, maybe millions, maybe a billion believers on planet Earth. I don't know how many, but if they're born again, they got that way because somebody preached the Word of God to them regarding salvation. We're going to be preaching the Word of healing. Because I'm telling you, you're going to see it yourself before this is over. Healing is as much in the price Jesus paid as salvation is. Now, we have not known that because we have not been taught that. But you're going to see it over and over. It's everywhere now. I can't look anywhere and I don't see it. Are you walking in all of it? Not yet. But I will be. And those I pray for will be too. And those you pray for will be too. Because that's what Jesus said, and He can't lie. We are going to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Anyway, don't get too far ahead of myself. You eat the flesh of Christ. You eat the flesh of the Lamb by eating the Word of God. Now, let me just ask you something. Just tell me, exactly how is it that you can eat anything without putting it in your mouth? Can you? I guess intravenous. But normally when it comes to eating, you don't eat it till you put it in your mouth. You know, you can study food. You can read about food. You can watch videos about food. You can sing songs about food. You can talk to your neighbors about food. And flat starved to death. You can be the most knowledgeable person. You could go to seminary for food. Study food for 4 years and get a doctorate in food. Know all there is to know about food. And starve smooth to death. Sometime or another, you have to eat the food yourself. I don't know how you can eat anything without putting it in your mouth. It's got to start somewhere. You got to agree with Jesus and His doctrine is a good first step to eating the flesh of the Son of Man. God has more for us in our inheritance than salvation. And I thank God for salvation. That's thank God. But if that's all there was, we just hunker down behind the door. He says, no. I want you to understand you have been redeemed from spiritual death. That's why they're roasting by fire. And I want you to know something else. Himself bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. And with His stripes, you were healed. Now, we've got to get that in us. Bone of our bone, flesh. Just like when you eat a steak or anything, that it becomes you. It becomes bone of your bone. That's the image He's trying to convey to us over there. Listen, you have to eat Me. Just like they ate the Lamb and the Lamb became part of them, you have to eat Me. You have to believe this gospel. You have to say what I say. You have to believe what I'm saying. And you and I will become one. Not just with your spirit. There's life in the flesh of the Lamb. Otherwise, why give us all those instructions back there in Exodus? And tell us there's not one not one feeble one. So was it based on anybody's works? Was it based on if they had a good day or a bad day? What was it based on? Did you eat the flesh of the Lamb or not? Did you or didn't you? If you did, you're not feeble. It's part of the atonement. It's not selective. I'm just going to pick on some things. You may have had a gossiping Aunt Gertrude in one house, and a real pious, never gossiping Aunt Gertrude in the next house. But if they both ate the lamb, they both got healed. You understand this? It's not selective. I'll tell you another thing. If they ate the lamb, it's impossible for them not to get healed. Otherwise, God lied. I just heard today again, I hadn't heard it in a while, one of my favorite Smith Wigglesworth stories. He was walking down the street in England, and he saw this crippled guy, kind of with a cane and all, cripply walking along, feeble, can I say feeble? On the other side of the street, Smith yelled across the street at him. He says, "Do you believe God would heal you?" The guy says, "Well, I sure hope he would." "Well, he'll do it when I pray, or else God's a liar." We're coming exactly to that place. And the guy got healed, by the way. See, it had become part of Smith. Smith and this was one. He wasn't trying to make it work. He was one with it. That's what we've got to do. We have to become one with the vine. Go back to John 6. He said it right there. I never did get to it. A little further down is where he tells his disciples. He said, "You going to go away too?" Anyway, you can read it for yourself later. Look at this. He said, let's start in 53 again. "Now that you've heard all that, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Now here's what I was looking for. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." I could say that in the natural about a steak. If I eat that steak dwelleth in me. Now, I don't dwell in the steak, but that steak dwells in me. And everything that steak had is in me now. And it's part of me. That's what he's trying to get across here. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." And what'll happen? Well, he says, "I'm living. The living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. I have this life from the Father in me." Now let's just take a sidebar just for a moment. We know that Jesus suffered persecution in the flesh. They tried to throw him off the brow of the hill. They tried to accuse him falsely of everything. They were always trying to put him to death, and he'd get away from them, you know. But I don't find one record anywhere that Jesus ever suffered a cold or any kind of sickness at all. Yet if the devil is the devil, he had to try and put that on Jesus just like he puts it on everybody else. But see, Jesus understood all of this. Jesus had the life of the Father on the inside of him. And I'm sure the devil tried to put sickness on him, but I don't think Jesus would allow it. He didn't have to. And what I'm finding out, if we eat of the flesh of the Lamb, if we eat of the flesh of Christ, we don't have to either. We don't have to. Gary, this flies in the face of all of your recent history at the prayer center and everything. Gary, don't you know you yourself have laid hands on people and they died? Yeah, I know it. That's why I'm studying deeper into this so that the next one I pray for won't die. Because God's word is not going to change. I'm going to change to line up with God's word. Amen? Not going to water it down, not going to change it. Hallelujah. But he says it right here. He says, if you eat me, look at verse 56. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me." How about this part? "And I in him." And the picture, the shadow, they ate that lamb. And the lamb became one with them. As we eat his word, as we allow his life. He tells you later on, it's my words are spirit. My words are life. Eat his word. Get it in your mouth. Say it and say it. Meditate on it until it becomes you. And that life, he says, the life that's in me is of the Father. And if you eat my flesh, you will live by me. The life I have in me will be in you. Well, he never did let sickness come on his body because he had the life of the Father in him. What if the church, what if we could say about the church at large, there's not one feeble one among them? Isn't that the type and shadow? Well, that sounds crazy. Yeah. To the natural man, it does. But I'm believing this is part of our inheritance. Not one feeble. Not one. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. We become one with the very life of God. Again, I'm going to say it again because this is the third time. John G. Lake, he had this revelation in the natural. It wasn't just a theory to him. And when he was in South Africa doing his missionary work, a terrible plague. I can't remember if it was bubonic, but it was a deadly, deadly plague. They were dying by the tens of thousands. And anybody that tried to help, like bury them or take care of them, normally they would eventually get it and they would die. So John G. Lake, he got some of his people. And he said, well, we can do this. We know how to do this. And so they started taking care of these people that were sick and dying of the plague. And everybody thought, well, they'll be next. They're going to have to be buried next. They're going to die too. But they didn't die. They never got it. They didn't get sick. None of them died. And after a while, they come to John G. and they go, everybody else that gets around this winds up dying. But you guys, you're taking care of them. You're burying them. How come that plague doesn't affect you guys? And he just very calmly said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He had this revelation. He said, the very life of God quickens my mortal body. The life of God is on the inside of me. And if you put any kind of germ on my body, the life of God will kill it. Sounds like what I'm preaching, doesn't it? We're going to get there. A few have. We're going to have a bunch of us get there. Amen? So anyway, they actually studied it and they got microscopes and they got some of that saliva from somebody who had that plague and they watched. They put it on his skin and that they looked at it first and that saliva was just teeming with that plague stuff, whatever it is. And they'd watch it. They'd put it on his skin and the instant that saliva would touch his skin, everything in that drop would die. There's something supernatural going on here. The life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And we've only taken that to mean victory over the grave, like we're going to live forever, and victory over sin. Thank God for that. You know, much of the church doesn't even have that. But thank God, Pastor Dave says, go and sin no more. We don't have to. Anyway, that's not really the message tonight. But that's all we've had. But we've never really related this onto sickness. But God taught it from the beginning. He taught it at the very Passover. Eat this lamb. Eat the lamb. Eat it all. Eat it. And when they come out, not one feeble one among them. Now I've got some time, so we're going to give you a little bonus here, okay? I'm going to switch the analogy from the lamb just for a moment. And I'm going to talk about Jesus being our tree. Do you remember when he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches? He's teaching the same kind of thing there, that we be one in him, that his life is in us and we are in him. You can read all of that in John 14, 15, 16, where he's teaching about I am the vine, you are the branches. He talks about being a good tree. Remember that? Now, put this in your meditator. This will be good for you over Christmas. Jesus is the tree of life for us. He is the vine. He is for us the tree of life. You remember when Eve saw the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Remember all those conclusions she came to? Oh, it's one to be desired and one to make one wise and so forth. Let me tell you, Jesus, he is the tree to make one wise. He is the good tree. We are to desire the fruit on that tree. It is pleasant to the eyes. It is to be desired. Now get this. When you partake of the vine, partake of the life of Jesus, it reverses what was done at the fall when they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not only does it restore life, but Dave would preach it, sin and all of its cousins, sickness, disease, infirmities, all of those things. We are to eat from Jesus, who is our tree of life. You are no longer tapped into an evil tree. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Let me say it this way. Hold out your arm like a branch. Just hold out your arm for a moment. His life, like the sap, is flowing through your arm. It's flowing. It's not just your spirit. It's flowing through your flesh. John G. Lake had that revelation. You get this? Well, it's quiet in here, I know. The words that I speak unto you. See, that's verse 63. Look at verse 63. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. He's not saying for us to go around and start eating literal flesh. That's not what he was teaching. The flesh profits nothing. Well, what do you mean, eat your flesh? The words. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You want to eat the Lamb? Eat the Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And they will literally not only quicken your spirit. You're going to find out like John G. Lake found out. It's going to quicken your mortal body. Now here's just a thought. It'll quicken your mortal body. Y'all remember that from Romans 8? Mortal means subject to death. It's not right there talking about the resurrection from the dead. A dead body. Now this is simple. A dead body is already dead. A dead body is already dead. A dead body is not mortal. But Romans 8 said, his spirit will quicken your mortal body. That's the one you're wearing now before the grave. Now it is talking, it's prophesying about the resurrection. I know that. But why use that word mortal? You got that? Mortal means subject to death. A dead body is not subject to death because it's already dead. Talk about Jane C. the ball. Now, we are going to get a new body. We're going to be resurrected. But I'm telling you, like we're going to find out, like John G. Lake found out, that spirit, that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it'll also quicken your mortal body. That's the one we're wearing now. It will bring life to your mortal body. Romans 8. Previews of good things to come. Now, I'm going to finish it with this. This is Jane C. the Ball. Go back in your mind, go back to Exodus. We're in our little slave hut. The door is closed. We're eating the lamb. What, if you were feeble that night, if you came in like Aunt Gertrude and you were feeble in any way, you were sick, bent over, broken bone, whatever. What was required for you to be healed? Eat the Lamb. Eat the Word of God. Eat it.